You're tuned in to TPE Network, fun yet informative podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to TV and Movie Reviews. My name is Mel, and I'm here with John.
Hey, everybody.
We're here today to talk about Wednesday Netflix series. I want to say Wednesday Addams, but of course it's just called Wednesday. And John, how did you find this series to be?
Oh, I mean, I've been keeping tabs on this Wednesday series ever since they announced it originally. And I mean, it's automatically, as soon as, you know, Tim Burton was signed on to direct. I was already on board and just waiting for it to come.
Yes. And, you know, I guess we should give some details. Wednesday is the series on Netflix starring Jenna Ortega as the main character, Wednesday Addams. And, you know, John, what did you know about the Addams family? Have you always been a fan? How did you come into this series? What did you know before you watched this show, I guess?
I mean, I've watched the original black and white Addams Family. I haven't seen every single episode of it, but I've seen enough. And really, I got back into it when we had the 1990s Addams Family and then its sequel, Addams Family Values. And really, I think that with that movie, that kind of solidified how we now go and see the Addams Family going forward, because even with their animated series that they have out, like, I think they've got like, I think there's like two movies, maybe. I know there's at least one, but those movies are very strong and reliant on the fact that its audience were the people who watch the Addams Family movies. And or, you know, read the comic books, because a lot of the like Hal Gomez is in the cartoon series and in this Wednesday series is drawn pretty much. Sorry, the actor in both of those are pretty on point to how they were originally drawn in their comic book form.
OK, yeah. So I guess we should give some background on the characters. You know, as, you know, John alluded to, there's definitely, you know, been some productions of Addams Family. There was a movie that most of us are familiar with from the 90s. But the original Addams Family cartoon was first published in 1938. Of course, it was created by Charles Addams as, you know, just a take on the, you know, the format of just what's normal and what isn't kind of thing. And then the show, the family rose to popularity in the 60s, and that's when most of us, you know, also know about it. There was reruns on Nick at Night, of course, but there was a 1964 television adaptation. That was the black and white series that more of us are familiar with if we didn't know about the comic strip back in the, of course, the 30s. And then after that, there was a 1991 movie, followed by a sequel. And then, of course, they also were in cartoons. They even were in Scooby-Doo a few times in the 80s. So, the Addams Family has been around for a while.
And the formula for them has not changed a bit.
Exactly.
Besides the fact that they finally brought Thing out of the box. And clearly, it's not like there was even the remote possibility of having that kind of technology back when they did the original series.
Did you watch the sequel? I think it was Addams Family Values.
Yes, I did.
That's the only one I'm missing.
it's good, but they add a new Addams child to it. But I mean, leading into it is hilarious because, of course, you know, Morticia, it looks exactly like how Morticia always does. And she's like, Gomez, I'm going into labor right now. You're like, what? You're like, well, it looks like you're pregnant. And then,
nice.
and then, you know, chaos ensues and getting to the hospital. And at some point in time, Thing gets tossed and he's the one that slaps the baby. They get to get the baby breathing. And you know, so, and then the kids get sent to a summer camp. Really, what it all is kind of like giving us some more, a separation of the kids and the family. And when we're looking at the family side of it, it is Fester and his love interest. And the idea is that they're trying to, I guess she is the Black Widow. I'm sorry. Spoilers, everyone, if you haven't seen this 1990s movie. But she clearly is in it for the money. And she goes about trying to kill Festeroff, but I mean, he's an Adams. That doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's on the list. I definitely need to watch that, just because I don't like missing out. I mean, of course, if we talk about Cobra Kai, I still feel like I'm missing out because I never saw the third Karate Kid movie. Of course, you know, you don't need to be a completionist like me, but I always feel like I miss out on things like that if I don't watch every sequel before a TV series starts. But yeah, I'll definitely catch it. Okay, so we talked about the background, so let's of course talk about the show. Tim Burton directed the first four of the eight episodes. Did you feel, and so we'll just move into just how, you know, he's linked to it, I guess. So he's the, Tim Burton is the executive director, or executive producer, sorry. But it's showrunners are the same people who ran Smallville. So I'm not sure if you saw any Smallville in there. John, did you watch Smallville before?
I mean, I know what it is, and I may have caught an episode or two, but no, I was never really into Smallville.
Okay. Now, did you feel there's a difference between a first four episodes and the last four, or did it kind of blend together because, you know, binge watching these days and you didn't really see a difference?
No, I didn't really see a difference in it. It was pretty knit together. I actually, you telling me right now that the first four were Tim Burton and then after that wasn't, I actually didn't even realize or know that, because I couldn't tell in the style of how it was being done.
Okay. Then that was what they needed for you, because I honestly didn't tell the difference either until I heard somewhere that he only did the four. I mean, I saw Tim Burton influence everywhere, their whole series, to be honest. Which brings to the next bit is a lot of people describe this as a Harry Potter. Well, no, it's popular. So a few dissenters, so to speak, describe this as a Harry Potter meets Tim Burton ripoff. Did you feel that way? Did you see a heavy Harry Potter influence?
No. I mean, just because they're in a school, because you know, that's some sort of original thing that's Harry Potter. Like, no kid goes to school.
So, exactly.
I mean, in the end, it's just a high-priced boarding school that you send your child to. And that's this. But in Hogwarts isn't even a boarding school, technically. It's just a school for wizards and witches, where in this case, it's for all the weirdos.
Yeah, and I heard some people say Veronica Mars meets Harry Potter. And first, Veronica Mars, if you watch the show, you know, she looks for the mystery. Wednesday, for the most part, it was kind of thrown against her. You know, she didn't even want to be at the school. First two episodes, she kept trying to escape. And then also, the only time I saw anything kind of close to Harry Potter was when they were in that, I think they called it the Poe Cup. And the closest thing I could say is, okay, it's like the Tri-Wizarding Cup from the fourth Harry Potter book and movie. But yeah, other than that, I thought it was kind of its own thing. So, you know, some people like to link things together and say, oh, this is just that. But I really didn't see any Harry Potter influence for the most part.
I mean, if you take a step back and look at what Harry Potter is, outside of its story of what it's trying to go for with, you know, an ultimate evil and everything like that, everything happens at a school in a world that is basically hidden from the rest of the muggles that are out there. So it's not an original concept to have kids go to a school that's a boarding school. And in this case, it's the same thing. They're going to a boarding school. And I mean, if we're just basically saying that this could be like Harry Potter, any movie that has kids going to like a boarding school, it can be like a Harry Potter ripoff in some way or form, if that's how you want to think about it. But it's not like they had magic, Well, there's one. The one guy had the psychokinetic abilities, but I mean, it was, you know, basically a school for outcasts, and that's not what Hogwarts was. Not for outcasts. It was specifically for witches and wizards, and there's a very defining difference between how they work. Now, it's in a gloomy, you know, house where this is a big castle. Actually, it was technically a castle, but it's. Yeah, you can make parallels, but you could do that with pretty much any show that was going to feature some sort of group of kids getting into trouble or having mysteries in a school.
Yeah, I agree. Did you notice that this was filmed in Romania, or did you think it was kind of Canada like most TV shows?
Well, you know what? I can't sit here and lie and say that no. But I only know this because as soon as I saw that house, my wife and I were like, I wonder if that's real. So we're like, I was like looking it up, and I do know that that castle is real. It does exist, but they were only there for, I think it was like 3 days. So all the outside scenes and all the overshot that basically they took care of all of that in 3 days. Then everything went to, they went back to Canada.
Okay. Yeah. See that's how I thought it was originally. I said, okay, it's just Canada. And then I heard I found out about the Romania stuff, and I was like, wow, they really leaned into this.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, basically shopping for locations. I mean, think about Game of Thrones. When they were looking for the Red Keep, they went all over the world, and I don't even know the name of the small country that it is. I just know that it's in the Mediterranean, like basically Mediterranean Sea and like border of that. And it's one like very specific place, and it's the only place that they could find that even remotely resembles how the book describes what King's Landing is, because of all the red structures that are there. So yeah, I mean, it's basically they're just shopping around trying to figure out, well, okay, well, where's a gloomy looking castle that no one's really seen before?
Okay. And so we talked about the background and the setting, so let's talk about the characters. What did you think of Wednesday, or Jenna Ortega's portrayal of Wednesday?
Oh, I, you know what? It's a scary Christina Ricci clone. I really like how she brought the character to life and how she made Wednesday very believable.
I agree. And it's so much so that, once again, I didn't see the second movie, so I don't have my Wednesday Adams, you know, knowledge is pretty far removed at this point. So now it's going to be hard for me to look at anything regarding Wednesday Adams and not have this as my background.
Well, I mean, so you can be happy to know that in the second movie, a lot of it is, you know, the two halves of the movie. The second half is really revolving around Wednesday Adams in general, and it's a lot of the same behavior and a lot of the same just ridiculousness that, you know, she has to put up with.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, yeah, she definitely did a good job, and I will, if anybody else portrays Wednesday Adams anytime soon, they're going to be heavily scrutinized and compared against her. So,
absolutely.
You know, she's kind of locked into the zeitgeist for Wednesday Adams, in my opinion.
Yep. But no, I agree. She fits the role almost all too well.
Yes. So speaking of, you know, of course, Wednesday Adams, we should just kind of skip to Christina Ricci. How did you find her in this series? What did you think of her portrayal as the teacher? And let's look up the teacher's name. I don't.
She was Marilyn Thornhill, but she was the, you know, if we're going to stick with the Harry Potter themes, she was the muggle, or in this movie's the normie in the out of the entire group that was there. Be honest. I'm being honest here. Didn't even realize it was Christina Ricci. I was waiting for Christina Ricci to like come out in like some like goth out character, not this like kind of like bubbly redhead. And I didn't even realize it until, I want to say, like episode 3 or 4. My wife was like, "Yeah, that's Christina Ricci. How did you not catch that?" I'm like, I honestly have no idea. She just I guess just how they put her together in that with like the big hair and the glasses, it really threw me off.
Yeah, I recognized her because, you know, I kind of cheated, so to speak. We were watching Yellow Jackets, which has Christina Ricci in that Showtime series about varsity female soccer players who get their plane crashes in the Northwest. And so they have to fend for themselves. And then it's kind of like Lost is showing what happened before the crash or what happened after. So it shows the girls as high school girls and it shows the girls, you know, 30 years later. And Christina Ricci plays one of those survivors. So I already knew what she looked like this year, so to speak. So so we immediately recognized her. But yeah, I agree. She was, you know, best way to describe her is a muggle or normie, you know, so to speak as well. But so, yeah, let's skip over to let's move back to Gwendolyn Christie, who played the principal Weems, you know, or, you know, Brienne of Tarth, if you know her that way. What did you think of that character?
I liked how she portrayed this headmistress. And I really like that if you've seen any of the articles that she put out, that she said that this is like the first time that she's ever played a part and felt beautiful the entire time. Like, you know, her, the dresses that they had her in, you know, how they've kept her all tight and neat as the headmistress. I really think that she really enjoyed it. I was actually very upset in the end whenever they basically, you know, killed her off. I was really hoping that with season two being announced that she would be there for that. And so I'm a little sad because I think that she did a very good job.
Agreed. So let's go over to Percy Hines White. He played Xavier Thorpe. He's got the ability to make, he's the one who had his art, he can make his art come to life. Honestly, at first I thought he had magic. I couldn't tell what his power was. I didn't know it was simply art based.
I didn't realize it until we didn't actually see him do anything until they brought that spider to life, right? We just knew
exactly,
he was
like,
yes, an artist.
Very weird, obscure power.
Yeah, I mean, that's a place for weirdos.
Yeah, and speaking of obscure powers, of course, some people might recognize him as one of the main characters from the X-Men wannabe TV show called The Gifted. Well, I mean, technically it was in the X-Universe, but Fox had a TV show called The Gifted. He was, you know, spoiler alert, he was related to the Van Struckers.
I'm remembering that now.
Yeah, so he was in that show. That's where I knew him from. But what'd you think of Xavier Thorpe or the portrayal of him?
Well, considering that now we're dealing with characters that don't really have a counterpart, like, you know, down the road. I don't have something direct to compare it against. But the person who this character that he was portraying in the students. I mean, I was convinced. I mean, it was very good, but and it really did throw a wrench into the plot whenever, you know, you have that entire shack that he has that is nothing but that hide, you know, drawings. Although, you know, talk about special treatment. He gets his own shack.
Yes. But to be fair, so he gets his own shack. Somebody else has their own beehive.
Well, hold on. And then let's talk about, like, you know, Wednesday and Enid. Like, we're like looking at this space. And okay, so here I live in Maryland, and I have been all through College Park, and so that is a very old school that's been there for a while. So a lot of how it goes is it's not a big room, but it's tall. So people build lofts, they'll build a loft and then they'll bring it in and then they'll assemble it, but then they have to take it with them. I've seen rooms that they've had to squish like six people into a space that's basically the size of like my dining room with a loft. And I'm looking at this room that she's got, and it's ridiculous for like all these students that they have there for them to have this much space. I mean, there should be probably like at least another four, if not six more people living there.
No, I thought the same thing. It's just like, there seems to be a lot of students and for just her living by herself before Wednesday showed up. And yeah, that was a lot of space.
Well, I mean, I would just like to see some of the other rooms for comparison, just to you know, put myself at ease here.
Well, we saw, I think we saw Xavier and what was his name? Roman?
Did we see Rowan's?
Yeah, we saw, I think we did at one point because we saw their fight and then Wednesday snuck into his room to look at the sketches. And that's when Xavier and Bianca had a fight about how, you know, why does he care about Wednesday and they were good together. And then, yeah, that room looked kind of small.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about, you know, additional extra privileges there. I mean, it was a good setting. Don't get me wrong, but anyone who has something like that, that's terrific.
And then last but not least, well, actually, no, I guess we have two other characters. We should go over the roommates as we touched on her already. Emma Myers as Enid Sinclair, you know, the desperate werewolf who wants to be a werewolf, but oh. she only had the claws at the beginning.
Look, that she was great. I mean, she was a great opposite side to Wednesday. I think if I even had to make a complaint at all, it would have been like she retracts her claws that are painted. So does that mean that when she paints her nails, she has to extend all her claws so she could paint them and then suck them back in?
Yeah, that made no sense to me either.
but I mean that's my only pick against her. I mean I really think that this bubbly werewolf that we get, and then we get to see her wolf out at the end, and also her having to deal with her family and everything. She is a really good character,
and not too bubbly because you know writing run screenwriter 101 says, hey, you know, Wednesday's dark, so let's put somebody super bubbly, you know, to play against her. And she wasn't that kind of overdone person either. So they did the character very well, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I can't find anything on the previous, on the last person, Tyler, you know, Wednesday's love interest, so to speak.
His name was what? Hunter
Doohan? Hunter Doohan. Yes. I couldn't find that he was in anything previously.
IMDb says that he was in a TV series called What If? Also, a TV series called Your Honor and another TV series called Truth Be Told. Actually, no, he's got a bunch here. Those are just the top ones. So, but he doesn't look like he had anything that was a reoccurring role except for in Your Honor.
And that's what happens when you look at Wikipedia instead of IMDb.
Well, I mean, as anyone who listens to this podcast or our podcasts know, I'm terrible with names and remembering them. So I have to keep IMDb up because if I don't, I'm just going to be mumbling through characters' names or actors' names. So
who was he in? Yeah, it looks like he was in Your Honor. So yeah, that works. Okay. Yeah, so he's got experience. He's not a noob, so to speak.
Yeah,
but what do you think of Tyler as the love interest?
I don't know. He seemed to be kind of pushy towards the whole thing, and I mean, then I understand a lot more when we get to the end. But if you're trying to play that character that is going to completely throw everybody off, that was very good.
Okay, and then I guess we should definitely touch on the Adams, so to speak. Put them all on the list. You know, we had Pugsley, Morticia, Gomez, Lurch, and Uncle Fester. Anybody stands out? You thought it was a good job? Anybody that could have been better?
I'm actually disappointed with Morticia because, yes, the woman that they got to play it, she's very curvy, but that's not really what Morticia is. She's very gaunt. Like she's supposed to have like sunken in cheeks, kind of look like almost like a dead body. And this actress, I mean, she's very beautiful, but I don't feel that she's fitting the role of Morticia. Now, Gomez, he's right on.
Nice.
Pugsley, Pugsley's usually portrayed as a tubby boy that's walking around. So I don't have a complaint with what they had, but. That would be if I'm trying to be picky, that would be my only one. I was really kind of like holding my breath when we got to Fester, but totally down with the actor playing Fester. It was a great time. And you know, like when they're in the family therapy, and then like the Pugsley is like eating the potpourri.
then, that was cool.
And basically everyone ends up eating the potpourri. So, I mean, as a family, I would say that my only disappointment with this is where's Grandma? Because she's supposed to be a big focal point in this, or not focal point, sorry. She's a main character in the family, and, you know, she wasn't part of this. Maybe we'll get to see her in season two, which we know is supposed to be focusing more on the Addams family as a whole versus just Wednesday. And it would make sense that, you know, because this was just Wednesday, we wouldn't necessarily have Grandma in it. But, you know, she in the background, a picture, something to help represent the her there. Lurch, I really don't have anything good or bad to say about Lurch. Lurch is Lurch. He didn't really say anything. He's a tall guy that just the entire time. And, I mean, he fits the role. Out of everyone that they've cast for the Addams, I think that my only issue is with Morticia and just not finding someone that looks a little bit, I guess, more dead or more zombie-like, because that's just how Morticia just always looks.
My complaint is Lurch. Like, you're supposed to hear his voice at some point. I mean, to my knowledge, you know, the phone rings and he says, "You rang," to that something to that nature. And so to not hear from him at all, kind of irked me a little. I did hear complaints about Uncle Fester. People said, why did he have those kind of powers? But I think that the electric powers, but I think that goes back to the TV show where he could put a light bulb in his mouth and it would light up.
Yeah. And he does that in the movie, too. I mean, yes. Uncle Fester's constantly getting electrocuted. And he even brings it up in the show about how using his electrotherapy, treatments or classes or whatever. So, I mean, it's not like he's shooting crazy lightning bolts out of his hand at somebody like that. I mean, he just like basically has current running through most of the time.
Exactly. I thought the same thing. So, you know, we're not going to go over every episode. But is there anything, like, what plot points did you really stood out that you like or that you want to cover and just call let's call them wins for the show?
The entire Gomez sword fight thing. I feel that during that whole thing that I guess as a kid, I would think that Gomez should have like one-upped him anyway, considering that he's supposed to be some spectacular fencing artist. But now that's a very interesting question. I really haven't had thought about it. I mean, I enjoyed the show as a whole, even with all the different plots and storylines they had going on in there. I don't think there's anything that I would specifically say I liked or disliked for it, but. No, and you know what? I'm not going to put a button there. That's what I'm going to leave with. I think that their creative writing how they put this together worked for exactly what we wanted out of Wednesday and what we would expect out of a school and out of some sort of a mystery. I mean, it was always a guess until we even got to that last episode for what was basically going on the entire time. So if that's the case, then they did a good job.
Okay. I thought it was obvious to me, mainly because it's never what you guess first. And since Wednesday was so adamant that it was a psychiatrist, I knew it was a psychiatrist. So I said, they're going to make it Christina Ricci because at one point, I think it was the third episode, Christina Ricci gifted her the Frankenstein book. And, you know, and so I thought, okay, put different parts together. Yeah, that's Frankenstein. So I kind of thought Christina Ricci maybe before three episodes earlier than the end. But as far as wins, I definitely love. I mean, we saw it coming that we knew that Enid was going to turn into a werewolf before the end of the show. But I liked when it happened. I liked how it happened. So that was definitely a win. You know, just she helped kind of save the day. We didn't touch on this character, but I really liked Eugene, the B student. I was happy that he didn't die.
Oh, and also the fact that we got to see why he was in that school. Because, yes. Like, you're just like, okay, so he likes bees. And what's weird about that? Oh, he can control bees. Never mind. Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. So that was a win for me. Just, we needed to have somebody that... I think Eugene was a great character. And so I'm glad that, you know, he survived and just he added something. Like he was, you know, an outcast, but he wasn't a popular outcast and he wasn't a talk back and his crap doesn't stink outcast. He just kind of did what he did. And so, you know, that's exactly what I think the show needed. Oh, shoot. And speaking of what the show needed, I can't imagine this show without the Thing. The Thing just, every time the Thing was around, he helped so much. Like he added to the show. What did you think about the Thing?
I agree with you, exactly what you said. I mean, it's even like that in the movies, whenever like Thing's around, because they make it so he can actually be disembodied or whatever and walk around. It's just great watching it Thing get into all these like little the chaos he can create. My favorite is whenever like he basically starts consoling him with I just moved off of IMDb and now I forgot someone's name already. Enid, and like Enid like knows all this stuff about like his inner heart and everything, and I'm like, how is this going on? And she's like, you know, trying to do for like hand signals or sign language in the movies, like to try and talk. Thing like has to tap out Morse code at one point in time because he's just so excited with what's going on. So a lot of what we saw in the movies was again like brought back for this. And I actually like how they portrayed this thing with like the stitches and how like the wrist looks like it's actually the skin's pulled together. And it's always an entertaining character.
I am going to have to, I understand that this is going to get complaints, but I'm going to have to say that the dance sequence, it might be because everybody gave it too much hype, so I could not enjoy it. Like her flailing around and calling it a dance. Of course, I get that it's on brand for what the show was doing, but it was a little too long and too much for me. And I get I'm in the outlier for this. Everybody else loved the dance, loved the Wednesday dance. It's all on the internet. But it did not do it for me, but I get the appeal.
Well, I mean, I liked it because of what it referenced, because it was all of these like outward, strange like music groups and how they like kind of did stuff back in the 60s. And it's interesting to see that, you know, that's how she thinks every, you know, people are should be dancing.
Okay.
I mean, at least we didn't get a moment where everybody else in the room was like, hey, that's cool. Let's all start doing that.
Yes. I'm glad that didn't happen. I do like how she, another win for me, I liked how she kind of assembled the group to confront Tyler, but except it just didn't go the way it should have, because the group was like, no, we're outcasts, but we're not killers or torturers. So they all kind of left, which shows that these people do have morals. Yeah. And so I liked that. You know, one, I liked that Wednesday did try to not do something by herself originally. And then number two, we do show that no matter, even though they kind of made it look cliquish at the beginning and it's popular versus unpopular within the outcast, at the end of the day, we show that these people still have morals.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone has their own story that's going on. So, I mean, it was great that they were able to explore these outcast friends that clearly are not friends at the beginning, but at the end, they at least recognize each other. I'm not going to say that everyone's all buddy-buddy and best friends, but, you know, they respect each other.
Yes, yes, definitely. Other than that, you know, there's no real wins that kind of stand out. I mean, I love the Uncle Fester episode just because you know, it was great to just kind of, I mean, without him, Thing wouldn't be alive.
I like the bike that he stole. I mean, it was great because, oh, we're looking for this bank robber. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just doing stuff. And he's constantly just moving around. Oh, and his disappearing act that he does every single time was pretty cool as well.
Yes, definitely. I also kind of thought, I mean, it was short lived, but I liked the win that Wednesday actually got to prove herself to the principal, you know, of course, before she got killed. But, you know, I thought that was a cool win that she could convince her, hey, give me one more chance to prove I'm right about, you know, about the normie and being the bad guy. So, you know, I thought that was cool. But other than that, yeah, nothing else really stands out. I mean, overall, it's definitely, you know, definitely everything was kind of good where nothing really stands out as being really good because it was kind of a good flow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great flow. Not everything was too long to make you be like, oh, is this almost over? And it had compelling characters that kept you wanting to be interested in what's going on there.
Yep. Even the bully, the mayor's son, you know, there was still kind of character development for him where even, you know, he didn't want to do the bully stuff when they did I call it the carry scene with the red paint. But even then, he didn't want to do it. And he was kind of put, I mean, I like that there's layers to these characters, you know, and nobody's just like an archetype, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. And with it being this type of you're trying to do a lot of callbacks to different types of like horror shows and stuff like that, because I mean, clearly, you know, this, what is it? Was it Carrie? I think it was there. Or,
yes.
I liked how they're like, she was mad. She's like, they can't even use pig's blood. So the entire time they're like, that's going on. And I'm like, oh, the vampires should be happy.
Yes. And a little nitpick, but did you catch who the vampire was in their group?
No, I did not.
It was the person, what was her name? Yoko. Yoko was a vampire.
Okay.
I thought Yoko was a siren. I mean, she never did anything. She was just kind of in the background wearing glasses. It's just like they needed a background character.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, no, you're right. You need a background character, but they, we only got like one other siren in that whole thing, but it's interesting, like these other types that they brought in there, because I wouldn't even thought about the sirens of being, as you know, in the D&D term, playable characters. But there you go, you put them in and it works, and then you have conflict with it because you never know if the person's controlling you or not.
Yeah, I did appreciate that little wrinkle in their relationship, and that's why it, you know, it didn't work. And no, yeah, I really like that whole development. Okay. Anything else that stands out to you that you want to discuss before we get to ratings?
No, there isn't really too much more to say over this, except for the fact that we already know that it's been signed for a season 2. Right now, I think it's like the third most watched show of all time on Netflix. And I think that's right behind season 4 of Stranger Things. So
they put out some numbers recently that said it passed Stranger Things with I forgot the exact record, but I think Stranger Things season 4 release, this release passed that as far as first viewing or initial viewing. I'm sorry, I should have looked that up before we did this, but yeah, they Wednesday definitely did some records, and it's definitely popular. But let me Google that. Sets a new record. It was watched for 341.23 million hours. That's doesn't mean anything to us. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Wednesday breaks Netflix record. Beat Stranger Things with, oh, looks like it's the same exact record I already answered. Okay, previously held by season 4 of Stranger Things during the first week of streaming. Now that's the record.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's real good.
Okay, not bad. I mean, and to be fair, Stranger Things first 2 seasons were better than the last 2, but so all right, so you ready to move into the ratings?
Yes.
Okay. You want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. Okay. I'm going to give this an 8.5. I believe that the writing was pretty solid for what it was. And it really did go beyond my expectations of what the show could be. And considering the fact that you're looking at a character that Christina Ricci made established staple back in the 90s, I think that she did a terrific job bringing that character back. I can't go as high as a 10 because of the fact that this is their first season. Nobody ever has a perfect first season. There's always stuff that they'd have to work out. I mean, the
that's because you haven't watched Heroes.
Well, some of the animation that they had in there with the hide, you know, clearly it's going to be CG, but it was a little bit campier than normal. But I mean, honestly, I thought it was more scary in the drawings that the one guy did versus what it looked like. But you know what? For what they just did, they will have that additional funding for the next season to be able to make that even better.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I would love to give it a 9, but I'm going to do an 8, and here's why. The only nitpick I have, besides, you know, of course, the hide looks kind of cartoony. the only nitpick I have is that she just kept, I call it the house, pulling the Dr. House, where I don't know if you ever watched an episode of House, but he always knew what it was, and he was always wrong the first two times. So he'd say, oh, it's blah, 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 Philia, and then everybody treats for that, and that's not what it is. And then he says it's something else, and they treat for that, and that's not what it is. And then it's always the third thing. And Wednesday was so adamant that it was the psychiatrist, and before that, you know, I think she only got it wrong once, but she was just so adamant that a psychiatrist and Xavier that it was like the girl who cried wolf to me. So they just, if they kind of dialed that back a little, I would have been a lot better because she was just so adamant and she was wrong, but she just kept going about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But other than that, you know, definitely great. You know, 8. For a rating of 8 is great writing, acting, storytelling, and execution. And, you know, that's definitely this show. This show has a lot of good moments in it. And I don't know about you, but there wasn't one episode for me where Wednesday didn't say something and I laughed out loud at her response or just her delivery about something. You know, oh, I don't do the torturing or I don't get even or just no matter what she said, like there was always just something good, you know.
Well, I mean, even like dialogue. The last line, she was like, you got to see me in San Francisco. It's dreary and there's fog all the time and it's raining. She's like, it sounds tempting.
Exactly. Like it's just definitely good writing as far as they really had good dialogue for Wednesday. So, yeah, very few complaints for that.
Terrific.
If you have feedback on Wednesday, you know, let us know what you think at tpenetwork.com/feedback. And you can email us or you can leave an audio recording. If you want to call, you can leave us voicemail at 810-309-8445. This has been TPE Network's TV and Movies Reviews. I'm Mel.
And I'm John.
We're signing off. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.